nerdassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
On your mark, get set, let's go. Right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. If you happen to miss this program at 8:30, you can catch it again at 5 o'clock. If you happen to miss that, you can catch it over at WWBC 1510 AM. And there's about three other frequencies that that station is broadcast on throughout the county. So you might want to look at some of them. They're on the FM dial, but it's the AM station. It's 94.7 FM, 99.9 FM, and 100.7 FM. So those go through different parts in the county. So thank you very much, Danny. He's got me a sign here. I was like, I know there's frequencies around here someplace. So anyway, we pray that you are having a great and glorious day. And if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God. If you do have a church home, but it's not really preaching the Word of God, and you know, God's leading you to be a part of the Harvest Field, we exist to be a blessing. And so there's not only a WMIE Facebook page, but I believe there's a WWBC 1510 AM Facebook page now that they have created, and so you can find out a little bit more about our ministry. You can always go to our website as well and our Facebook page. Facebook and YouTube, we have a YouTube channel where our sermons are live streamed unless we have a missionary speaker, because we don't want to compromise their ministries and expose them to things that might endanger people hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's get to the Word of God today, and we will dive back into Job chapter 41. I was talking to myself about the book of Job, and almost everybody always focuses on the suffering of Job. And, you know, then there's people as well, why is Satan allowed to have intrusion into Job's life and bring such devastating loss? But I want you to know that I believe that the real message of Job is the supremacy of God, and that at the end of the day, no matter what happens in our lives, we should have a greater revelation of who God is. So right now we're looking at the opposition that had positioned itself against God, and that opposition will fail like every other opposition fails. Sometimes it's because people are united in opposition due to hostility and they just don't want God's purpose in their life. Here we find that the opposition is Job, and it's because of the confidence that he has in himself, and God is going to adjust the settings. He's going to recalibrate Job's perception meter here in just a moment. So we're in Job chapter 41. Yesterday we had been in verse number 8 where it says, "Lay your hand on him, remember the battle, never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine." So God is taking Job on this journey, and he's saying, can you subdue, can you control, can you bring an end to life if necessary? Do you have any sort of capability on your own to tame or to make a beast of burden out of just one of these large creatures of the sea? And remember, it's not an independent question. These are a series of questions that all must be answered appropriately if you're ever going to, you know, have any room to compare yourself against God, and then you've just scratched the surface. I don't believe that this is the full extent of God's ability to question mankind in such a manner to show him his own inadequacy. I believe that it's going to take God all of eternity to reveal himself to us, because that's how massive and how wonderfully amazing he is. So yesterday we were talking about ungodly battles that we want to remember so that we don't ever get entangled in those things ever again. We don't want to be like a dog returning to its vomit. And then the second part of that, we flip that script and say, you know, because the power of the omnipotent God is indwelling us and the word of God is richly dwelling in us, that we ought to be able to approach spiritual warfare not from a victim mentality, but from a victorious mentality, where the enemy says, I don't ever want to do that again. And so after the program, I was gone. I was thinking, and it was like, because that's really what happened with Jesus in the wilderness. It said, you know, at when Jesus was at his most vulnerable place physically at that point in time, he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days, and Jesus still triumphed over every temptation. It said that the devil left him for a more opportune time. And so years ago, I was told by a friend, he had read a book, and in this book it said that every time demons manifested in the presence of Jesus' ministry, that the demons left defeated. And I believe that's the way it ought to be in our lives. So here, as God continues to challenge Job, he says, any hope of overcoming him, Leviathan, is false. I want you to know that God knows the outcome of the battle. So when you read the book of Revelation, you know, there's that old saying, it's been around for as long as I can remember, I've read the back of the book, and we win. Christians win. Jesus triumphs. Death, hell, and the grave are destroyed, and heaven is a holy place that is populated with redeemed people that don't want to have anything to do with sin ever again. And so that's what the end of the book looks like. So God says, when you're dealing with just one of these creations that I'm infinitely larger than, you're soon going to find out that any hope of overcoming him is a fantasy. It's false. It's not based in reality. So I don't know if you've ever seen somebody that decided that they were going to challenge a world-class athlete and just got humiliated. Excuse me, had a piece of food stuck in my throat there or something, and I lost my breath for a second. But if you've ever seen one of these videos where they decide I'm going to put my skills up against this world-class athlete, it never ends up well. They end up getting schooled almost every single time. God goes on one step further and he says, shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? I have a mindset when it comes to angels. A lot of people think that angels are these little pudgy-faced, baby-looking creatures, and they have wings. When I read about angels in the Bible, I find out that almost every man that encounters them wants to fall at their feet as though he were dead. Angels will never accept worship. The only angel that ever accepts worship is the angel of the Lord, and that is what is known as a theophany. That is a manifestation of Jesus at some point in time throughout history, normally in the Old Testament, in angelic form, but you'd also see that happen in Revelation as well. But if it's an angel that was created by God, an angel is simply a messenger, the angel will not accept that worship. Don't worship me. Get up. I'm just a created being just like you are. But I really, out of all the angelic encounters, the one that I really enjoy the most is Joshua, who has an encounter with God, or has an encounter with the angel, and he approaches him and says, "Are you for us, or are you for our enemies?" And he says, "Neither. I'm on God's side. And the place where you're standing is holy ground." And so that's what happens when we encounter an angel. What happens when we encounter a created being that operates in a atmosphere that we cannot thrive in, where we don't know what to expect, and all of a sudden, bam, there he is. Here God tells Job, the mere thought or the very sight of him causes people to be overwhelmed. They all of a sudden, just catching a sight of this created being leaves one feeling insufficient on their own merits. But God says, that's not the way that I approach that situation. So let me tell you what happens in eternity whenever there is a man or a woman that has an encounter with God. The Bible says that they will bow their knee, and with their tongue they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is righteous and true in all his ways. Verse number 10 of Job 41 says, "No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up." You say, why are you spending all this time talking about Leviathan, this creature that no one really is able to pinpoint identify? Why are you talking so much about him and whether or not Job can tame him or make a servant out of him? I'm glad you asked. Verse number 10, no one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. I have this great respect for wild animals in that... you know, I've seen them cornered and suddenly they become very protective. I told you on the radio program recently that I had encountered a snake in on top of a shrub by our mailbox. Well, several years ago, I encountered one of that snake's ancestors, because if it had been that snake, it would have been much larger now, in between our two buildings, somewhere around. I mean, we got some undeveloped land that's not too far away from us, and so it's a pretty good hiding place, and they would come over to our place to thin out the little geckos and anoles and all of the little lizard-like creatures. So one of them was in the breezeway between our two buildings. And I said, that's not where you belong. And so I ushered it out of the breezeway, and I thought it would go across the street, but instead it crawled under my vehicle, which happened to be parked over there that particular day. And then I thought it would scurry on around, but it rounded the corner and it was going back the direction that it came from. And I said, oh, no, 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 no. And I ran around and I got in front of it. And that's when I discovered that there must have been a nest or something, because even though it was a non-venomous snake, it said, that man is standing in between me and where I want to go. And it just, all of a sudden, it was a racer was what it was. And, just kind of pinned its ears back and hit the accelerator, and bam, it just, and I was like, you know what? I think if you want to go there, I'm okay with you going there. I'm not going to mess with you. I don't want to have a snake that's a friendly snake, a good snake. I don't want to make an enemy here out of that. And that's what God is saying to Job here is, this creature that I have created is so intimidating in sight that no one could find within themselves the courage to take this creature on all by himself. Here's where God is going with all of this stuff, with all of these questions. Verse number 10, the second part. Who then is able to stand against me? Who then is able to stand against me? The Bible is pretty clear that Lucifer was one of the most powerful created beings that there ever was, rose up in rebellion against God, and it was not a battle for the ages when God vanquished him and removed him from heaven. It was not a battle royale or anything like that. It was simply a get out, a removal, and bam, he was gone. Who can stand against God? It is not close. It's not close in might. It is not close in appearance. It is not close as far as intellect. It is not close as far as strategy. It is not close as far as character, compassion, or plan. God is infinitely superior to every one and everything. So when people ask questions or say, well, I want to challenge God. I want to challenge him with his intellect. I want to challenge him with his decision. I want to challenge him on his plan for redemption. Please understand that may sound like bravado, but it is foolishness, it is unbiblical, and it is unwise. No one has, or no one ever will be able to successfully stand up against God and come away victorious. We're not talking about an aging lion who at some point in time has been the dominant individual in a pride of lions, but now he's getting a little aged and a little slower and not quite as ferocious. And we're not talking about that. God never ages. His skills are not diminished. And so God's asked all of these questions, this huge range of questions, and he's still got more that he asked. We're not going to go through all of those, but in fact, we're just going to touch on a little bit more here before we go to chapter 42. He knows the outcome of all of that. He knows the answers to all of these, and he says, you are wholly insufficient to be able to compare yourself to me and come out of that comparison feeling superior. We need a Savior. And God said, I'm the only one qualified to save you. You made a mess out of your life. I want to make a message out of your life. So that is what goes on. And he says in verse number 11, who has preceded me that I should pay him? Here we discover the eternality of God. He has been from infinity past to infinity future, eternity past to eternity future. He is God without without beginning and without end. That's who he is. And God says, there's no one and there is nothing that was before me. People say, well, how could that possibly be? Well, the only way you're going to be able to discover the reality of that is to make Jesus the Lord of your life and spend eternity in heaven. And all of a sudden, God is going to unveil things that we at this point in time cannot comprehend. I love understanding. I do. I like to know how things work and how they operate. I like to know what the problem is so I can fix it, so that I can function at the level that God is supposed to operate in my life in. But here is what I do know, is that if my finite mind can understand an infinite God, then I am either deceived or my God's not infinite, and I've got a problem. When we understand the scope of God's existence and how long he has been at that, he's, you know, I talk about expertise and experience with JITS Concrete. God's really good at being God. He said, nobody is before me and nobody will be after me. I don't owe anybody anything. He is, you know, one of the titles for him is he is the self-existent one. He is, you know, Moses said, what's your name that I can tell him? He says, I am that I am. Verse number 11 concludes with this. And I will share, this is Job 41, verse number 11, the second part. And I want you to go into the weekend in covenant relationship with God. I want you to go into the weekend with faith in God, knowing that you have favor with God and having a better understanding of just what God can do in your life. Okay, are you ready? Everything under heaven is mine. Everything under heaven is mine. You know, I could tell you we own our house. Well, we own our house with the bank that has the mortgage on the house. We own our house with Brevard County because Brevard County still insists that we pay taxes on that year after year after year. If you don't pay your taxes on the house, even though you've paid the house off, they can come in and confiscate your house because they have not been receiving the taxes for that house. So you can say, I own it, but you're actually just a steward of it. So there's legal documents that have to verify that you have the responsibility for the property and the blessing of the property. But you have to ultimately realize that there is ownership that is beyond you. So when I talk about that we are stewards of whatever God has given to us, that means that the vehicle that I drive, at any point in time, God can say, I want you to bless this person with a ride. I want you to use this vehicle to, you know, go help somebody with groceries. It can be, I want you to get in your vehicle and drive and visit this person. It's God's vehicle, and he's entrusted it to me. The same thing with finances. I've been going through a lot of paperwork that has been carried around. It has multiplied and swollen beyond what I could store in a filing cabinet, or the second filing cabinet, or the third filing cabinet. And so I've been going through and looking at those documents to see if there were things that I still needed to hold on to or things that I didn't need to hold on to. And through the years, I've looked back to, you know, W-2s and things like that that go back 30 years ago. And I said, God, how in the world with that minuscule amount of finances, how did you get us through that season in our life? And it's quite simply this: everything under heaven belongs to God. And so the tithe, the first 10% of my income, it doesn't belong to me. It's placed into my hands, and I'm given the stewardship of it. And I say, God, here is the 10% that you asked for me. And I know this, because of that, because I'm faithful in what you entrusted to me, you're going to bless and make what I have left. You're going to make it go farther than it could on its own. I want you to know that not only are finances belong to God, not only do the things that we possess belong to God, not only do all of the creatures belong to God, but even time belongs to God. Everything belongs to Him. And so there's nothing that we can look at and compare ourselves and say, boy, I really embarrassed God today when I showed up and I was so much superior to Him. No. I want you to set aside that foolishness right now and say, God, I am so thankful that you chose to create me in your image, and you chose for me to exist for this time that belongs to you right now. Brevard County Christians, He chose us for such a time as this to advance the kingdom of God in Brevard County, not by accident, by purpose from before the world began. Our time, our mind, our physical capabilities, our giftings, they all belong to Him. Let's use them for His glory and advance His kingdom and see people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. God bless you. Hope to see you at church this Sunday. If not, we will see you back here on the Refresh radio program on Monday morning.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.